Honduras is a slightly happier place today after being given its only piece of moon rock back. The tiny rock, collected by the Apollo 17 mission, was presented to the country by Richard Nixon in 1973, but later mysteriously disappeared. Robert Perelman is the founder and owner of CollectSpace.com, the world's largest space memorabilia site, and he joins us from Arlington, Virginia. Hello, Mr. Perelman.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, it was a mysterious time. Did it have anything to do with the Watergate burglars?
No, but it was something of along the same sorts. At some point in between the years of 1973, when the rock was presented to the people of Honduras, which was a presentation that was given, a similar presentation given to 135 different nations, including the United Kingdom, the rock went missing between 1973 and 1996 from the presidential palace. At some point, it ended up in the possession of a retired military officer who in turn reportedly sold the moon rock for $50,000 U.S. and a truck. And at which point the new owner, Miami businessman Alan Rosen, brought it into the United States with the intention to sell it for $5 million. But when he tried to do that, he responded to an advertisement in the newspaper that was placed by undercover agents working on behalf of NASA and the U.S. Postal Inspector, and sold the rock, essentially, to an undercover sting. And so for the past 5 years, it's been tied up in legal wrangles to the point where we had a court case here, U.S. versus One Moon Rock, and the outcome was that it should be forfeited to the U.S., and the U.S. in turn returned it back to Honduras.
Well, well. Now, apparently, I mean, you just said the British have a similar moon rock. I thought there was a bit of moon rock in the Royal Scottish Museum in Edinburgh. I must admit, that's where I thought there was a bit of moon rock. But
it's very possible. As I said, there was 135 different presentations made. And in addition to that, now those presentations were unique in that they were gifted to the people of the different nations. And so they are legally the property of the people of those nations. There were also moon rocks that are put on loan from NASA that are in public museums around the world. And those are on loan. So someday if a scientist wanted to study that sample, NASA could request it back. But no moon rock has ever been given to an individual. And none of the astronauts who walked on the moon received a moon rock. No president has ever received a moon rock. It's considered a U.S. national treasure and therefore is held in the highest regard.
So actually, $50,000 or whatever it was for a piece of moon rock was a very good buy.
Well, it was actually, he was trying to sell it for $5
million. Ah.
But what the actual moon rock value would be is a very good question. Recently, there was a caper where four students working at NASA stole a safe filled with moon rocks and tried to sell it to a group of Belgian rock collectors, who in turn alerted the FBI, who in turn set up another sting operation. And in the process of that court case, the court decided that each piece was worth $50,000 per gram, based on what it would have cost for the entire Apollo program divided upon the 842 pounds of moon rock that were brought back. But the market value would, in my opinion at least, would be much, much higher, and certainly on the order of what Alan Rosen was speaking of, probably $2 to $3 million. And to give you an example, the U.S. wasn't the only country to bring back lunar material. The Soviet Union sent three robotic probes to the surface and brought back lunar material, a little less than 1 pound, but they sold a little less than a gram at Sotheby's in 1993 for over $600,000.
Oh, boy. To what other things do people attach value that come back from space? Obviously, something that comes from the Air and Space Museum, like, I don't know, frozen space sweets or something, they're not going to be worth very much money, are they?
No, the freeze-dried ice cream
yes.
is more of a novelty than a collectible. But there are there is a considerably large group of people worldwide that collect space memorabilia and space artifacts. There's a pecking order to it. The most desirable artifacts are those that were carried to the moon, and specifically to the moon's surface, and then decreasing in value and desirability into lunar orbit, then into Earth orbit on the early Mercury and Apollo and Gemini missions, as well as the early Soviet missions, and then those that are carried into space today on board the Space Shuttle and the International Space Station, and only a few years ago aboard Mir. But there is a healthy market for it, and there are a lot of items that can be possessed legally. The astronauts were given items that they were allowed to keep. They were allowed to carry a small set of souvenirs with them on their missions, and those have entered the market in recent years. There are certainly more common items like autographs and stamps and patches that were created for public consumption but were limited edition and therefore are collectible just like any other collectible field.
Much depends, obviously, on the individual astronauts themselves. I mean, I'm vaguely reminded of something in The Right Stuff where the astronaut Gus Grissom puts something in his pocket, which he's not really supposed to put in his pocket, and takes it up into orbit with him.
The film took a little bit of a liberty with for drama purposes, but in reality, Gus Grissom did carry dimes with him on board his flight for the sole purpose of having a souvenir of the flight. And on most of the early American flights, there were souvenirs stashed on board. Today, it's common to find cosmonauts carrying items such as postal covers and autographs and photos into space as a souvenir of their flight. We've sort of gone topsy-turvy between U.S. policies and Soviet policies, or now Russian policies. When the program started, of course, the Soviet program was a military program that was very restricted in the idea of carrying anything, but the official equipment was not even heard of. On the other hand, the U.S. program was, the engineers were encouraged to, in some ways, create souvenirs. When Alan Shepard's Mercury capsule came back down, making him the first American in space, the parachute that helped him come down safely was hung in a hangar to dry, and engineers who had worked on the program were invited to go in, hoist the parachute down, snip off a piece for their memories, and then hoist it back up. And suffice to say, there is no more parachute to be had. So...
Somebody got bigger bits than others, perhaps. Do you have any stuff that you keep yourself?
I do. I particularly have a collection of flown artifacts of items that were carried on Mir and the Space Shuttle. But I also have smaller items, small fragments of items that flew on the earlier missions. I do have a piece of that parachute I just mentioned. And I also have an item that is stained with lunar dust. And this is a good distinction. While owning moon rock is illegal, you can get items that are stained with the dust that was picked up during the mission by the astronauts themselves, as long as those items have been legally released by NASA in the course of the years that have followed. And I have a few items that have lunar dust on them. And they make the centerpiece of part of my collection.
Good for you. Well, look, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. And as Robert Perelman was just saying, he doesn't know where the British bit of moon rock mounted on a plaque actually ended up. I had that idea about it being in Edinburgh. But if you know, and I dare say that you probably do, you can email us, appallnight@bbc.co.uk. or text us on 85058.